Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 452. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is taken care of as well by us. And we have strong messages today. We may be reading from the book of Judges, chapter 5, so get your Bibles ready now. We have some good testimonies. Great expositions, expounding on the word of the living God. And we have some great music. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this program. Father, anoint the program, their souls, this whole world, as you know, better than we all, that it's on its last legs. You're about ready to open the curtain in the kingdom of heaven and show everybody your power. Hallelujah. You're going to come to earth. You're going to show your great and mighty power. You're going to move the world right off of its axis. People just think that they're going through trials and tribulations now. They just think that you're cursing the world now. They haven't seen anything yet, Father. I know because of your word. You say you're going to move the world off of its axis and that this big meteorite that's coming down from the kingdom of heaven is going to smash one-third of people's lives out of them and much, much more. Let the folks out there know, Lord, if they become interested in knowing what's going to soon come to pass, let them pick up their Bibles or at least listen to my program so that they know how to be saved before it's everlastingly too late, and that the backslidden Christians, if they can still be saved, Lord, let them become very zealous. Let them receive your word, the spirit, the water of life, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's the Alamo Christian Brothers Quintet to sing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach.
There were three children from the land of Israel.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
They took a little trip to the land of Babylon.
Shadrach,
Nebuchadnezzar was a king of Babylon.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
You know, it took a lot of gold and made him an idol.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
What the Torah provided heard the music of the cornet.
Oh, yeah. The Torah provided when they heard the music of the flute. And the Torah provided when they heard the music of the harp.
Good God, the gods about that and were showing I know. Well, the children of Israel would not bow down.
Oh, no.
You couldn't fool me with a golden idol. I said you couldn't fool the children with a golden idol. Now the king put the children in the fiery furnace. And he heat those coals red hot brimstone.
We
made
God.
He made it seven times hotter, hotter than it ought to be. It even burnt the souls of the king that put
there. Here we go.
My God sent his angel. He went down to see these things. It was the Son of God in the middle of the furnace. He began to cool the flames. Well, the children, they got so happy. They went to walking back through the fire. Just like they're talking about the power of the gospel.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
the people in the world today are saying how tolerant we must be to all the filth and degeneracy that's going on in the world. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not do that. You know, the world government is saying that we should condone abortion because this has to do with the free rights of women. That gives the right to the woman, like if somebody... It has nothing to do with the law of God. There is no such thing as my rights or female's rights when it comes to God. God said, here's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. We're not to tolerate sin in any way, form, or fashion. We're not to bow down to any of the things in this world that are anti-Bible. There are many examples in the Bible of people that never did that. One was Noah. Amen?
Amen.
And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never did. And the three Hebrew children and Daniel never did. They were not tolerant. They would not tolerate to bow down before the golden idol. And they said, well, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't. Well, they said, we're not too slack in telling you, man. Just go ahead and bind us up and throw us in there because we're not going to disobey God. We're not going to tolerate bowing down before some stupid idol or any stupid thing in this world. Same thing with Daniel. Throw me in the lion's den. God will shut the lion's mouth. Well, the king looked into the fiery furnace, and there wasn't just three people in there. There was four. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, one of them looks like the Son of God, the Son of God. And so he let him out, and there wasn't even any smoke on him whatsoever. And they were not burnt at all.
Amen.
And so the king glorified God and said, he's... their God is the true God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not to tolerate the things of this world. Doesn't make any difference. They say we should tolerate people because of the that they were crazy or something. No. They say, well, this person killed somebody, but he was crazy. You're not to tolerate that. The Lord doesn't say that a murderer can get off because he's crazy. What the Bible does say is to put them to death if they murder somebody. Amen?
Amen.
And that way the crazy person will wise up and not be crazy anymore. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happens. We're living in a lawless society, and we're commanded by God not to tolerate it. All right, we have some testimonies today. Michelle, where's the first one from?
From Getty, Italy.
To Getty, Italy. Any relationship to John Getty?
I don't think so.
I hope not. Okay, then what?
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I thank God for your life and ministry. It is my pleasure to greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and your family and your entire congregation in the Lord. Pastor Tony, I have not a lot to say, only thank you for your precious gifts, the literature and the Bible. I enjoy reading them as they give life. My main purpose for writing is to express my appreciation to you for the wonderful parcel you sent to me. It is such a precious gift to receive in a time of distress.
You know, it's the precious thing for me to hear that we're infiltrating with the kingdom of God into Italy.
Amen.
Where the Antichrist is sitting there in Rome. And here's a testimony that's coming right out of Italy.
Amen.
The darkest, deepest regions of that place. Praise the Lord for this one. Keep going. This is interesting. Very invigorating, if you will. Go ahead.
Pastor, do you know what? I received the parcel in the afternoon while I was in the fifth day of fasting and prayer. Just think of that. It threw a marvelous light into my spirit and lifted my faith, and I know that with God all things are possible.
Amen.
I believe before I finish reading all the literature you included, my life will never be the same. I also want to announce to you that I am part of your wonderful ministry. Please add me to your congregation. I request for your prayer and every necessary support that will help me become a man of God who is spirit-filled to preach the truth of the gospel, because it is only the truth that sets man free. John 8:32. Pastor, if it will be possible, send me some of your taped messages and video cassettes. I hope they will give me more inspiration by watching them with my family. I remain yours faithfully, Bismarck from Getty, Italy.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit cannot make his home or his abode in the flesh of man. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the flesh of man, of course, the Holy Spirit will crash through the human flesh and circumcise the spirit. Our spirit is dead before the Lord gives us the new spirit that's alive. And then when he gives us the new live spirit, then his spirit moves into it to live there forever. And he will not live or continue on living in a person that follows the flesh. In other words, he's led by the flesh or his soul. And so what a person has to do is put the flesh and the soul under subjection of the spirit. And our spirit has, the new spirit that the Lord gives us, has the power to do that, especially when the Spirit of God moves into our spirit. So it includes everything, man. See, because our flesh includes everything that our flesh had or was before we were regenerated. So God cannot dwell even in man's spirit if it's dead. The spirit of an unregenerated person. Not to mention in the mind, emotion, or will. God's not going to dwell in your mind, emotion, or will, or the soul, or in his body. A person must be born again of the spirit. Insomuch as the Holy Spirit anointing oil is not poured out on flesh, just so. The Holy Spirit does not abide in any part of the flesh, not in the body. It has to be in your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So some people, some ministers are actually catching on to the fact that there's a spirit, you have a spirit, a body, and a soul. But the Lord is not going to dwell in your soul or in your dead spirit or in your body. You must have the new spirit that God promised to give us. And he must be abiding in there in order for you to be able to keep the commandments that the Lord says that we must keep. He has no connection with the flesh other than striving against it. Galatians 5:17. Can you find Galatians 5:17 very quickly? I love the book of Galatians because it was the preaching of Robert Aguri, who is preaching from the third chapter of Galatians, that is when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't receive anything of by ourselves. It must be by faith that we receive everything from God, all right?
Amen.
And that's what it said. Aguri told me on his radio broadcast. He says, did you receive salvation by some work that you did? And I started laughing because I didn't even know God existed. And he came down in that office and started plugging up my ears immediately, and he started talking to me through my spirit, my dead spirit. He started talking to it like he talked to the dry bones, amen, like through Ezekiel. And it just got me laughing because that was so funny, because I know that there wasn't anything I did to be saved. It just, God came down himself and let me know that he existed so that I could get serious with him, because when I know that God exists, and that then I immediately think that there's something higher than the things in this world. And therefore, to me, the things of this world become trash.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so I start seeking heavenly things. I start seeking, what do you want me to do, God? I know you're up there. Doesn't make any difference, because these idiots here on earth can't tell me anything. You told me that you exist, and I know you do, because you pulled the breath in and out of me. And you made me do something that I would never have done before. And not only that, you told me something scriptural. And I've never even read the Bible. Then when I read the Bible, I knew it was true. And so therefore, I was just totally dead to all spirituality. And then the Lord comes down and shuts my ears off, which means he did something physical to me. And then he starts talking inside of me. I could hear inside me. And the reason I know I couldn't hear in my regular ears is because I could hear the traffic out on the streets. We were only one story up. The windows were open. It was a beautiful spring day, or a summer day, whatever. And it was, I couldn't hear the traffic anymore. And then I started hearing this voice in my feet, my knees, my legs, my arms, my chest, my everywhere, but my ears. And so I know that God exists, and I know that he was dealing with me and that he showed me these things. And so when I read the third chapter, when Robert O'Grady was preaching the third chapter, he said, okay, let me reason with you, the Lord says. Was there anything that you did that made it to where you're saved now? I was saved now after seeing visions and dreams and signs and wonders of the kingdom of heaven. I started laughing, because I knew how silly that was for anyone to think that there would be anything that you could do to get saved. You can't.
Amen.
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 It has to be the Holy Spirit that leads you, and the Lord knows that I had no respect for human beings, especially human beings that were in churches, because they never showed me anything. I used to go out and get go to nightclubs and everything with these guys that said they went to church, and they kept trying to convert me, and I says, what do you do? The same things I do. How are you going to convert me to anything other than what you're doing? I said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you're Christians. Is that what the Lord allows you to do? Is go out raising hell every Friday, Saturday night, and then go back to on Sunday to church and pretend like you're holy, or get a holy look on your face. I can't even believe you people, the look on your face. You look like you're so pious, you stinking phonies. Okay, but then when the Lord came down, I knew he existed. To me, the people on the earth don't exist. To me, they were garbage, all right?
Amen.
They're phonies. They are betrayers. They are liars. They did the same thing I did. And I knew I wasn't saved. I had no nothing in me that wanted me to go to church. I thought, what a waste of time, you know. I'm not going to go in there and fake it to try to please some humans or to make myself look fair in the eyes of human beings, because I thought human beings were nothing in the first place. Why should I impress that bunch of dogs? And when I look at the people in the world today, especially the Vatican, the world government, and the media, I look at them and I say, with disgust in my heart, because they're the biggest bunch of phonies and evil people that have ever lived on the face of this earth. But there's always been these kind of people, because they're the same ones that nailed Jesus to the cross. They're the same ones that railroaded him. Amen?
Amen.
And they're doing the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. But anyway, the Lord doesn't have any connection with the flesh, other than he strives against the flesh. And how does he do that? With tsunamis and disease and sicknesses and infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
And with tidal waves and earthquakes. And he talks of, he puts it within the heart of humans to make war And these things are happening over and over again all over the world. Now, so this, he has nothing to do with flesh, but strive against it is Galatians 5:17. Read it.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit.
Right. In other words, it's just the flesh, our flesh hates spiritual things. And therefore, there has to be so much fear of God be put in us in order for us to deny the flesh and ask God to come into our hearts, Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, to enter into our flesh, to give us the power to willingly put our flesh under. This is a subjection of our spirit, our new spirit, with God's Spirit in our new spirit. Amen. And to the point and to where our soul becomes obedient to the Spirit, and then our body. And then we begin doing the things what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
So read it again.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
That's why the Lord says that he has no connection with the flesh, other than striving against it. That's right, there's what he said.
Amen.
Amen. Just put it a different way. Now, unless there is an element within us that is totally unlike the flesh, the Holy Spirit finds himself unable to dwell in us. We must be born again. We must have the new spirit. And God said in the Old Testament, he's going to give us a new spirit. And then, that's the first step. And the second step is that he will dwell in our new spirit. Amen?
Amen.
To give us the power to endure. It is therefore indispensable for the spirit of man to be regenerated so that he, God, may abide in the new spirit. The Lord says that this has to happen. Amen?
Amen.
It's indispensable for the spirit of man to be regenerated so that he may abide in the new spirit, so that God can abide in the new spirit, unless man wants the new spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And unless the man wants the Lord's spirit to abide in them. The Lord says he'll give you a new spirit. And the Lord says he will dwell in that spirit. And the Lord says that he will live or abide every minute of every day, every second of every day, every hour. He'll abide with you. Not only with you, but in you. Amen?
Amen.
Why is it so important to understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in man's innermost depth, deeper within than his organs of thought? Why is that so important to know that? More important than the organs of thought, or feeling, or decision. People make decisions every day with their stupid carnal brain. Isn't that weird that people are so pompous and that have so much confidence in their stupid brain that they actually make decisions on their own? They're goofballs. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Tony, what kind of a pastor are you that you keep calling people stupid and goofballs? I say it because God says so. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't think of that all by myself. I don't make decisions like that. Do I?
No.
Well, then quit accusing me, okay? Let me go free and you attack God, okay? Attack God and see how far you get, all right? It is because unless the child of God perceives this in their ability, he invariably shall seek God's guidance in his soul. How are you going to seek God's guidance in your soul? Amen? Amen? When the Lord says that He is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in their spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Not their soul. The soul has a will in it. Of course, your soul has to make a decision to do that. The will in your soul, that is. Okay? So, with understanding, he shall be delivered from the deception and error of looking to what is outward rather than that which is inward. The Holy Spirit lives in the remotest recesses of our being. There, and only there, may we expect His working and obtain His guidance. Our prayers are directed to, quote, our Father, who art in heaven. But the Heavenly Father guides us from within us. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't guide us by our flesh or our soul. He guides us from our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
How do you know that? Because I told you what it says in the Word of
Amen.
God.
Amen?
Amen. Do you think I dreamed this up?
No.
If our counselor or the living God resides in our spirit, then His guidance must come from in us, within us, within our spirits. How tragically deceived most people will be if we seek dreams, visions, voices, and sensations in our outer man, rather than seeking God in our inner man, in the spirit. Some of us have seen signs, visions, and dreams. I myself have. But I know that these things that the Lord says in signs, visions, dreams, and signs and wonders, that they're going to come to pass, but I'm not led by them. We don't look for them if we're really of the Lord. Now, when the third chapter of the book of Romans says, I'm talking about Galatians, states, that did you do anything to receive salvation? No. What did you do? Okay, now that you're saved, which is the most important thing in the world, is to have this new spirit put in you and to have the Lord's Spirit living in your spirit. Now that you're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is there anything that you can do, you physically, your body and your soul, and anything else that you have? You think you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the different gifts of the Spirit by something that you can do? Why, are you going to build a little birdhouse? Or are you going to type a lot of letters? Or are you going out and feed the horses or the dogs? Do you think that will get you the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, you have to seek it by the Spirit. With your spirit, with the Spirit of God in you, you have to believe the Word in order for you to be able to receive anything from the Lord. If you're being attacked by millions of demons, is there anything you can do? You can sit up on the roof and pretend like you're one of these weather vanes going back and forth, or that you could stand on one foot and put a peanut on your nose and stand there all day long, that's going to get you victory over your enemies? I don't think so. The Bible says no. Everything, all sorts of deliverances. If we need finances, whatever we need to receive it from the Lord from within our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Our flesh can't do anything. You can make a birdhouse. You can sit up on the roof like a weather vane, your flesh. And it's all flesh. Amen?
Amen.
You can put a peanut on your nose and stand on one leg and stand and let the tide cover you up. That's not going to do it either. It's by faith in the Word of God coming from your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so when Brother Uri was reading that to me and explaining it in a different way, but very much like that. I started laughing so much, and I just, my soul, my spirit, just ascended up to the throne of God, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there, right then and there. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, I didn't look for visions and dreams. They just came to me. Do you think that when I was in an office on a business deal that I was looking for a vision or a dream or a sign or a wonder from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
No, so I had nothing to do with my salvation whatsoever. It just came to me. Amen?
Amen.
And do you think when the Lord was showing me visions of heaven and hell that I had anything to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
I could just, you know, strain with my flesh all day and all night long and for years, and I won't receive anything from the Lord. I wasn't even praying for it because I didn't have enough sense to pray for direction in regard to how to receive anything from the Lord. It just came to me, and I reckon it's because I'm not that bright, really. So I don't boast of any knowledge of my own. I only boast in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So He's the one that gave these things to me. He gave me salvation. He gave me knowledge that there isn't anything that our flesh or our soul can do. Our soul can want everything in the world, but it's not of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We have to seek the Spirit to see what the Lord wants us to do in order for us to be able to do it. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to seek His power, which comes from His Word, and from the baptism, especially the Word tells us of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we get the power to be able to continue on to the end with His Spirit abiding in us every single day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so these signs and visions and dreams don't have anything to do with it. We didn't look for them. I didn't. If we're really of the Lord, you're not looking for these things. People who are looking for such things frequently never receive them. Now, why did God give me all those signs, visions, and dreams? Because He knew that I would value these things so much that He shows me, and that it would make me to know that the Word of God is true, and that He's definitely coming back to earth again very soon, that it anchors my soul. And He knows that I would transmit these things from my spirit into your spirit. And, of course, if your spirit doesn't want to receive them, well, then there's a pushing away from the Word of God and the things that the Lord has done through me. And I'm a witness of the Lord because I have nothing to witness of myself. I did all kinds of promotions and things like that, but those things, they're like trash, because we're not speaking about a spiritual realm that is far above this trashy mud ball down here, that is called earth, okay?
Amen.
Okay, now God's going to refurbish the earth. He's going to burn it up, because there's been so much sin in the world. People are sinning every day. They're committing abortion, fornication. Even people that don't do fornication physically, they're doing it in their brain. And God sees that. And so you might as well just be doing it out in the flesh, because if you think you're going to get away with thinking it or committing adultery or fornication in your mind or your heart, He knows everything that you're doing. Yeah, He knows what your intentions are. He knows that you know that nobody knows what you're doing except Him. And it's like thumbing your nose in His face for you to be doing these things, thinking that He's not knowing it and seeing it. You think He's as stupid as you are, or even way more stupid than you are, as though He can't see. Now, they've got these satellites up there that can hone down on your backyard, your front yard, all over your building, and see you walking out, taking deep breaths of air in the morning, and then taking a pack of cigarettes out of your pocket if you smoke, and taking one out and puffing. They can even tell what brand it is. And if man can do that,
Don't you think that God can do that as well?
Amen.
Well, if you don't think it, then you're like an animal, an ox that eats grass, right?
Right.
Praise the Lord. They look into their soul to determine whether they have peace, power, or spiritual progress. This is the most harmful thing, and is not to have any, it doesn't have anything to do with faith at all. It diverts them from gazing upon Christ to a looking at themselves. People just look at themselves. They're just saying, what shall I do? What should I do? Did I do right? Did I do that? Instead of just looking to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All you're doing is looking at yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You're too self-centered. Did that person offend me? Should I act offended? Or should I smile? Or should I frown? Or I do this or I do that? Should I eat chicken or turkey? Should I eat cereal or grits? Just quit looking at yourself, will you? There is a peering within yourself, however, which is completely different from the things that I mentioned before. What it is a faith's greatest act. It is a search for guidance by looking to the Holy Spirit, who dwells, if you're born again in the Spirit, who dwells in us. Amen?
Amen.
If you're a spirit, you have a new spirit, and the Lord's living in your spirit, who indwells our spirit. Although a believer's mind, emotion, and will cannot discern the things within, yet a person ought to believe, even when in darkness, that God has given him a new spirit in which his, God's spirit, dwells. Just as God's dwelling in the darkness behind the curtain of the Holy of Holies was feared. Well, how was it feared? Because the priests, everybody knew that you don't go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do that. And if there was any sin on his soul, well, they had to tie a rope on him, because the bells, if you hear, he had little bells on the rope, and if they start moving, well, there was sin on his soul, and he went into the most holy place, and the people would have to drag him out, because you're not allowed to go in there and grab him by the ears, all right, or his hair and pull him out. You just have to tie a rope on him. So he was feared, not seen by those in the holy place and outer court. Even so is the Holy Spirit, who dwells in man's spirit, incomprehensible by the soul or his body. It's only comprehended by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Is this too deep for you?
No.
I pray not. I have a think I'm breaking it down good enough for the soul and the body. Thus, we, or are we able to, or look at these things? We can recognize what is authentic spiritual life. We are, because if you know the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your flesh, we're able to authenticize spiritual life. If we're really just focusing on ourselves, if we're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not to be discovered or experienced in the many thoughts and visions of the mind. For in the many burning and exhilarating feelings of the emotion, nor in the sudden shaking, presenting and touching of the body by an outside force. I was never able to know spiritual things before the Lord came to me and taught me all these things. Did you know how to figure out spiritual things?
No.
No, I see a lot of your pencils wagging right now. If you knew all this before, then what are you writing it down for?
Amen.
To review later this evening or in the morning. It is to be found in that life which emanates from the Spirit, because life can emanate from the Spirit, from the innermost part of man. That's what you need to bottom line learn, to walk freely after the Holy Spirit, is to understand the movement of this most hidden area and to follow it accordingly. However wonderful these experiences may be, which occur through the components of the soul, they are not to be accepted as spiritually valid as long as they remain in the outward and go no deeper than sensations. Only what results from the operation of the Holy Spirit within man's spirit can be accounted to be spiritual experience. Therefore, to live a spiritual life requires faith. Because I just went over the third chapter of the book of Galatians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I says, can you get anything from the Lord by your flesh or your soul? Or even can you receive a new spirit by doing anything, or salvation by doing anything? To have the Spirit of the Lord living within you? No. So to live a spiritual life requires faith. Amen?
Amen.
So it is the Spirit, quote, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. Man's spirit is the place where man works together with God, but it's the new spirit, okay? Not just your spirit, because God won't live in a dead spirit. Your dead spirit must become a new spirit, okay? How do we know we have been born anew, or born again, and or regenerated? And are therefore children of God. How? We know because our inner man has been quickened, or the Holy Spirit dwells therein, or our that we know that because the inner man, or the old spirit, has been given life from God by faith. It has been quickened, given. Quickened means it's a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit, a life-giving spirit. We've been given life by God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in that new spirit. Get it?
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Good. Our spirit is a regenerated, if we're regenerated, our spirit is a regenerated new one, and he, in other words, the Lord who dwells therein, yet distinct from this new spirit. There's two different things, the new spirit and then the Lord's spirit that dwells in it. Amen?
Amen.
Is the Holy Spirit. So the new spirit is distinctly different than the Holy Spirit. So the new spirit is where the Holy Spirit then dwells. And the two of them bear witness together that you're born again of the Spirit. And you received it by faith, not by any works. You're not going to attempt to do it by feeding the pigs, or the dogs, or the horses, or standing on one foot.
doing all the different things that you think might be beneficial so far as receiving anything from the Lord, especially salvation. Well, let's read. I promise that we might. Do you have another testimony there? Okay, let's do it. Where is it from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, hopefully you are doing fantastic spiritually. Pastor, first of all, I would like to truly thank you for the gift of the wonderful Holy Bible, as well as the Messiah book and the assorted newsletters and literature that you sent to me. May God add his blessings upon you. Pastor, I am happy to be writing my second letter to you. I am a 25-year-old young man and had been wishing to become a true born-again Christian, but was lacking direction. I'm glad now that I have known the truth about Christ through your newsletters and literature. These newsletters and literature were distributed in a single day, and I was so busy separating people who were quarreling and pushing each other in order to get one for my hands. Now, Pastor, would you please send me 5 Bibles, 5 Messiah books, and as much of your newsletters and literature as possible? Pastor, here in Africa, some people who were still blind and were praising and worshiping their ancestral gods are now one by one coming to know Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, as their Savior through your literature. Therefore, I would love to offer those Bibles, newsletters, and literature to those people so that they can understand God by themselves. Pastor, since it had been my dream to truly serve God for the rest of my life, I would like to apply for a place in your ministry. When I was at secondary school, I had been wishing I could be special for God's service, so please do me a favor. Lastly, I am looking forward to receiving spiritual gifts and an answer to my application to be in your ministry. Your brother in Christ, Humphrey, from Dwenga, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord.
As I stated the other day, we should utter the cry of Mary, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," because she didn't do anything for the angel to come to her and tell her that she's going to be having the Holy Spirit impregnate her with the Son, the very Son of God. She didn't do anything for that, did she?
No.
Did she balance a peanut on her nose?
No.
And stand on one foot? Or did she go up on the roof and strain with her flesh? Or pull the burden of a mule to do it? No, they just came down and did that. Amen?
Amen.
So just be... that's why Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Luke 1:46. So what then should we think? No longer is there any self-importance. We think that we have a right to be more important than somebody. Somebody's abusing us. They're not paying enough attention to us. You sit in the corner and pout. This is in other words, you feel that you're self-important. You're important. And everything that the Bible tells us is that everything is of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, there's no longer any self-importance, either in public or in private. So don't pout.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank and praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You think you're self-important? Oh, my. Amen. Thank you, honey. My little girl just is the best timekeeper. She's letting me know how long we have. These things believers recognize. If you're a believer, you recognize. And you admit your incompletency. The Lord wish, you only want for the Lord's wish or desire to exalt the Lord with humility, humbleness of heart. They will not steal the Lord's glory any further, but magnify him in their souls as Mary did. So if we don't magnify the Lord in our souls, there isn't anywhere else that he can be magnified either. And the only way that we can magnify, our souls can magnify him, is if we have the new spirit. And the Lord is dwelling in there, and that our spirit has overcome with joy because of the fact that the Lord has done something to us that we ordinarily could not do. We can't do.
None of us can do. Only such as those or these count not their life, which means their soul, if any consequence or any value. Acts 20, verse 24. And to lay down their lives or their souls for the brethren. That's 1 John 3:16. Unless self-love is abandoned, the Christian shall forever think back when called actually to take up the cross for Christ. He who lives a martyr's life and is willing to nail himself to the cross is able to will, or to is able to as well to die as a martyr's death, as Jesus said, if ever the need should arise. Most people, that need never arises in their life. A person like this could lay down his life for his brother if occasion demands it, because in ordinary days he has denied himself continuously and has not sought his own right or comfort, but has poured out his soul for the brethren. True love towards the Lord and the brethren arises out of love for self? No. It arises out of no love for self. Amen?
Amen.
We can't love ourselves and be saved. Well, I see my time is up. The Lord wants a selfless people, and you should want to be a selfless person if you want to enter heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord will give you the strength to have this state of spirit, soul, and mind only when he dwells in you, when he gives you the new spirit to do so. So now, in every broadcast, I have give a person an opportunity to say the sinner's prayer that they might be saved. So, do you want to be saved, or do you want to burn in hell in the lake of fire? That isn't any choice, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you better choose the right choice.
Amen.
Live in heaven, amen?
Amen.
Say this prayer. If your will is to be saved and to have the new spirit and the Lord dwelling in it in the power of Christ in you, say this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. The Lord says in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, I have a few things against you because you've lost your zeal. He says, repent or I'll spit you out of my mouth. The Lord says that he'll blot your name out of the Lamb's book of life. So say this prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I open my heart. Come in. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. That includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord and give glory to God for the information, the godly information that you received from him today through this broadcast. And Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of this audio tape or CD.
Go to Alamo Ministries.
Remember, this is program number 452.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479 782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful broadcast to feed and mold your soul into the exact likeness and image of God Himself. Right now, ask the Lord to stand by you, not only by you, but in you. This is myself singing to you, stand by me. God, stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, well, who knew last when they were here? Stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, now who never lost a battle, stand by me. Who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand.